This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Tax on the 150. You got to be it's got to be taxable income.
Yes.
Are we on yet?
We are on.
Wait, look at that. Wait, what? Is that all the warning we get? Is a wave in the air? Karen.
Don't pick on Karen.
Why not?
We need her.
She's handy.
She's the only one that knows all the buttons to push.
Last week she wouldn't let us. She turned our volume off so nobody could hear me.
I heard that.
She were mean, well, Karen. That was mean.
That was probably a good idea.
That's probably
a
good idea. Right? All right, class, write this phone number down. It's important. Get ready. Get your pencil out. Pen, if you're driving down the street in a car, don't do it.
Don't drive down the street.
Don't. Yeah, you can drive down the street, but don't write down this number.
Oh, okay.
Unless you pull over, and I will give it to you now, but I'll give it again in about 2 minutes in case you do pull over. I'll give you time to get stopped. But it's 1-888-221-8990, and that's toll free from any place, including the Bahamas. Did you know that this station comes in the Bahamas? All the way over to Marsh Harbor. I actually heard it because I was there. It's kind of a clue. I've got satellite radio on the boat, and I just thought, well, let me, because my satellite thing has to be on 88.5 in order for other stations to work. So I just switched it to 89.9, and there you were, Karen. No, it wasn't.
Karen was there. Wow.
No, you weren't. But anyway, folks, this is the Team Martech Hour, and Team Martech consists of Vince Rizzino, CPA, who's only been in business 140. No, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he's an old.
He's depreciated.
He's depreciated.
That's true. His body's depreciated.
He's way past his shelf life. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, Lord.
I know. He's a CPA and a forensic CPA, and why is that important? Well, by the way, if somebody does your taxes and they don't have that extra little bit of credential at the end of it, there is not as much liability to the preparer as somebody that can carry that credential. So the CPA by necessity is better educated, has to have a degree, and then once they are admitted to work on taxes with the internal revenue, why would I call them infernal? Anyway.
Well, they're not listening.
I never know.
I can assure you of that.
That's it. And he's also a forensic CPA. Not. And forensic's a big word, which simply means he's recognized by the court system as an expert witness. So that's important stuff. And then sitting next to him is Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, who, by the way, Bulldog spoke very kindly of you today, very highly.
Well, that's good. That's because we haven't closed his loan yet.
Oh, that's why. Okay. Yeah. He's a pretty happy camper because he sold his house, I guess.
Very fast. It's a very fast moving market.
Yeah. And then he's going to buy the new one. So he's pretty much a happy camper. And then now he called in on the other radio show, which, folks, by the way, we have 1590 AM every Wednesday at 11 AM, 1590 AM. This is talk radio. It's not Christian radio. But bottom line is you can call us in on that one, too. And both of these shows, by the way, stream live, meaning you can go on the computer, wcno.com, wpsl.com, And you can on this one.
I didn't know this one streamed.
Yeah, yeah. Huh? You can't see us, but you can hear us. Mm-hmm. Which yeah, kind of
no video,
which kind of good
audio stream.
I tell you, when people can't see us, you look a lot better.
Yes.
Well, Joe's been said to have a radio face.
Right.
Well, you know how people put faces and voices together, and yeah. they rarely match when you look at like Cliff Desmond up in WPSL, you know, he's got this magnificent radio voice, but if you take one look at him, you wouldn't know it was him. But it's called.
What are you saying, Joe?
What am I saying, Joe? Anyway, I don't think he's listening, but if he was, he'd know I was picking on him and he'd be used to it. Anyway, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and why is that important? Well, if you're going to go get a mortgage, let's say you walk into your local bank and the local bank says, okay, fine, sit down, take an application. And we'll let you know in a few days.
Or weeks.
Because the procedure is the person that's taking it is not the one that's going to do the work. They're not going to check it out. Their job is to strictly take it, and that's what they're supposed to do. On the other hand, you don't even have to walk in the door for Mike. You can call him, and Mike will, over the phone, take care of everything that needs to be done. And usually within 10 to 15 minutes, he will be able to tell you if you qualify, if you don't, or what needs to happen to make it all happen.
But we still do things the old-fashioned way. We'll sit face-to-face if you like.
And there's nothing wrong with sitting face-to-face.
That's how I prefer it.
I do, too. It's absolutely. But the key is this. It's nice to know ahead of time before you go out of your way to get all the way to Palm City to your office.
Mm-hmm. Right down the street from
right
here.
Right down the street from here, which is where we happen to be. Anyway, so the concept of a lot of things, if you can accomplish things over the telephone ahead of time, mm-hmm. And then just do the face-to-face and finish up the paperwork or whatever needs to be done. That's good.
And, you know, a lot of times, Joe, when people call me, you know, maybe they're not ready or not in a position to buy or
right.
get a mortgage now, but at least we can point them in the right direction and get them ready in the future.
Well, you know, once you do something for 25 or 30 years like you have, you kind of take it for granted what you do.
Yep.
And the people that are brand new, these kids or even people that are not kids, you know, they don't do it every day, so this is brand new stuff. So a lot of the words that we take for granted, that we live with every day, people do not. So educating people is just a big thing about what this show does.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, and we get a lot of calls, a lot of people we help.
In fact, speaking of which, if you pulled over, now you can write this number down.
Now you can write it down.
1-888-221 8990. And on your cell phone, you don't even have to dial the one. You can just
I notice that you look up every time you say that phone
because,
number.
Well, I know the other one by heart.
I thought you were praying.
Well, that too. I'm praying that my eyesight
should
won't go.
He should be praying because he needs it.
1-888.
You know, not enough for us to pray for him.
Well, listen, I prefer you praying for me because, okay, never mind the rest of that. But the bottom line is, prayer never hurts anybody, and it's good for everybody.
In the mortgage industry, it always helps when you're taking an application to pray that one goes through.
1-888-221-8990. So this is a talk show. Vince Rizzino, CPA, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, Joe Martek, financial advisor, are sitting here. But there's other members of the team that are not here. Mr. Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Now, I lean on that word independent very big because if you're a captive insurance agent, which means you work for a company like Farmers or State Farm or Allstate or whatever, you have certain things that you can and cannot do. You normally are restricted to what that one particular company has. And you, if you have a problem or if your company, in fact, this is what happened after Hurricane Andrew. And Hurricane Andrew put about 10 to 15 insurance companies out of business. Because of the claim structure, because it was such a devastating thing. And then the rating agencies came back to a lot of big insurance companies in Florida and said, we're going to downgrade your rating because you have too much exposure in this magic area called Hurricane Alley. And so a lot of these companies said, whoops, okay, never mind. We will get rid of a bunch of people or we will double their rates, and which made people leave anyway, because that's just what they did. But the independent insurance agent doesn't work for one insurance company. He works for the client and under Dan's umbrella. And this is my opinion, but in my opinion, he is the premier agent on the Treasure Coast. He can write insurance almost any place in the country, but he's got under his umbrella, give or take 100 companies. And in order to have that and to be credible, you have to be in business a long time, have a good reputation, and have what's called a big book.
Yeah. And you know what? I do have a success story to share about Dan. I just recently took a mortgage application, and after we verified income and everything, it was the debt ratios were a little bit too tight.
Explain that debt ratio to people.
Well, what we do is we take your monthly income and we use a percentage of that. Normally it's 45%. And 45% of your monthly income can go towards all of your debt. That's your car payments, your credit card loans, and also includes your principal, interest, taxes, and insurance on the house that you're financing.
Do they add Mike, utilities into that, or assume?
No, it's just true debt.
Okay.
Where you signed on the dotted line.
Okay.
Well, because the insurance is part of your debt ratio.
Right.
Then the object is to get that insurance premium as low as possible to help you qualify. So we just through his agent, he just couldn't get the premium down low enough to qualify, and Dan was able to help him and got the insurance to a point where now they could qualify.
And people, this is a big deal,
right?
I mean, when you're wanting to buy a house and you're putting all this time and effort out, and you find out that you're $10 or $20 or $30 a month away from qualifying, you can't buy that house. You know, mm-hmm. it's a major devastating thing.
And you know, just to put that in perspective, every $1,000 that you finance on a mortgage only changes the payment by about $4.50.
Right.
So to get that payment down by $40,
yeah,
you have to throw a lot of money at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So by shopping the insurance around, sometimes that could make the difference between qualifying and not qualifying.
There you go. So that's a big thing. Next member is Greg Fasula, attorney. You know, normally when we say the word attorney, your hair stand up on the back of your neck. You know, not everybody's excited.
Oh, I was in a room full of them yesterday.
Isn't that exciting?
Last night.
Was that exciting?
Oh, you lucky.
Well, I went to a campaign party for a friend of mine who was running for judge.
Ah, okay.
So
well,
of course
judges are all attorneys, yes, to start with, right?
Well, but they were all very nice.
Well, they weren't there suing you. That's why.
Yeah, you definitely don't want them on your bad side.
No. Well, the concept is when I meet a new suspect or prospect, one of the first things I ask them is if they have a will or a trust. And if they do or don't, I still want to know, let's say they did it 20 years ago in New Jersey. Well, this is Florida, and Florida laws, Florida rules are different than those in other states. So sometimes it pays to get things updated and to know what's going on. Secondly, a lot of people think they may need something and they don't need something. There's many, many different vehicles that can help you avoid the court system when you die and help avoid lawsuits while you're alive. So a part of having an attorney is to make sure he advises you properly so that you have your ducks, your cart, and your horse in the proper order.
So, well, you know, Joe, some states, depending on the attorney, don't give you original copies of your wills, for example. In Florida, a photocopy of a will is not legal.
That's right.
So if you check your wills and see if you have a copy there that were prepared out of state or prepared a long time ago,
yeah,
make sure they're not copies. They should be originals.
It's you know, it's like original notes on mortgages and stuff, right, Mike? I mean, it's a, you know, you can't really tell from a good copy, but they can.
You
but
wouldn't want to find out.
Yeah, that doesn't stop them from foreclosing in the past.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Anyway, so the concept of the group, and there's one more, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart. And where Victoria really, really became a critical member was during the height of the recession, or her and Mike both. When real estate took a monster hit and all of a sudden there was words, foreclosures and deed backs and what's the other word?
With deed in lieu.
Short sales.
Short sales. And
short sale was a new concept that none of us had ever heard of until this last recession, where the bank was willing to let you out of the mortgage and get paid off for less money than you owed them. Mm-hmm. And all of these things are not easy to come by. It takes people with expertise to get it done. And the second thing about a realtor, once they know what you want to get, they can shop the entire area. And working hand in glove with somebody like Mike Polis in the mortgage business, they can tell you within minutes what you can qualify for, so you're not out roaming around looking for the wrong house.
That's right. Let her do the work. She does it very well.
Well, it's the truth. That's exactly. Let her do the work and let her find you the things that fit.
Yeah, I got a text this morning. She was in Canada and she was checking up on a loan.
That sounds exactly like her.
Nice.
You know, at least she didn't get it at 3 a.m, you know. Which?
Yeah, that has my wife questioning.
I know. And who is that?
Yeah. Who's this Victoria?
This is Jim from State Farm.
What are you wearing?
Uh-huh.
What are you wearing? Right.
No, fortunately, we're all friends, and we know how each other works.
Well, what happens is, this is kind of an in-house joke, but this lady has only two speeds. She's either working or sleeping. And when she wakes up at 3 a.m, it's not her fault you're sleeping. So she'll send you a text if she's got it on her mind.
Well, I have a nasty habit of not deleting any of my texts.
Ah.
And one day I did a comparison, and she has texted me more than any of my other friends combined.
All of them combined. Now, you know, when you talk about friend, it's a business friend, but she's a worker. And she just is one of the hardest working people alive. And if she says she's going to do something, you can take it to the bank. I mean, this girl, you couldn't make her life if you tried.
Yeah. And you know what? She's rarely wrong about values.
Yeah.
When she lists your house, it's a good value.
She knows her stuff.
Yeah, she knows her stuff.
1-888-221-8990. Then there's one more member of the group named Joe Martek. Can you believe that?
Oh,
yeah.
How could you forget?
And Joe Martek's what's called a stockbroker, a financial advisor. I'm a securities principal, which means lots of licenses. That basically handles investments. So whether it's an IRA, a 401k, the new word is that we both learned in solo 401k. Where you can put up to $58,000 aside and not pay tax on it. Boy, that so when you're making $150,000, $200,000, when you're having a good year or two, that just helps a whole bunch. So then what happens, folks, with anybody that has an IRA or 401k simply means you don't pay tax on that money now. But when you, quote, retire, you then take the money out and you'll pay tax on it based on your income at that time, or it'll be subject to tax. You may not even pay if you're below the threshold. But the whole concept is, if you're making really good money, even for 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, the fact that you can put this money into a structure and not pay tax on it and wait until you're 60, 70 years old to take it back out, there's some great vehicles out there. I had a lady in this week that It was an interesting thing, Vince, and I look at people and I wonder the motivation of certain people when they go in. So here's a lady that made $20,000 last year, and she's got a 401k at work, and she put $6,500 into an IRA the same year.
Okay.
And I said, why did you do that? And she said, well, the guy I talked to at the bank said that's a good idea. And I said, you know, the concept is when you're making good money and you don't want to pay tax on it, but I would bet last year you didn't pay any tax at all based on what your wages were. And there's rules with the 401k and the IRA that if you put so much in one, you're not allowed to put too much in the other.
She might be better off putting it in a Roth.
Well, in a Roth or in anything.
Yeah, because at least she could put it in tax deferred. You don't get a deduction, but maybe she doesn't need it.
In the way I looked at it, she didn't need the deduction. And I said, hey, if I were you, I'd go back to the bank and say it was a mistake. It should not have been done that way. And like Vince is saying, here's what happens with a Roth IRA. A Roth IRA, you put money into it today. There is no tax deduction. But let's say you put this $6,000 in and you don't ever add another dime. But 10 years goes by, and now you're officially an old person, and you want to take it out. Every dime, including all of the growth, is tax-free. So let's say it's now worth, $10,000, $20,000. Pick a number. Who knows how well it did investment. That Roth IRA having 100% of it tax-free can be a benefit.
Oh, heck yeah.
Now,
of a benefit when you're younger.
Well, because you have a longer period of time to accumulate the money and the growth. Yeah.
Well, the other side of the coin was this lady, I don't think, was going to have a necessity even for a Roth because she doesn't have a tax problem beginning or ending. She's just not in a high enough bracket to make it be a problem. You know, when she takes her 401k and her Social Security income when she does officially retire, it's not going to be onerous.
Yeah, so, but if her employer matches any part of that 401k contribution, then that would be a better situation for her to get into.
Well, she is
contribute to the 401k,
but she's in it already. She was in the 401k, but she had this extra cash in the bank, and the bank she went to said, let's put it in an IRA.
Without even taking a look at her taxes or asking
if
she paid taxes?
I mean, if you'd asked that question, you wouldn't have done it, because she didn't care if the money went into a regular account, you know, an investment account.
I'm talking about from the flip side. The ethics of the person at the bank, they have a responsibility to ask, is this suitability, right?
Suitability.
Exactly. Is this a suitable investment for this person?
Exactly.
And you need to look at their financial situation.
Well, I just suggested that she goes back to the bank and say to the bank, hey, I never should have gone into this. It was a mistake. Let's reverse it. Now, here comes a question. She said, do you think I can? And I said, you know, I'm not 100% positive, but if it was done within a year and you've never filed it on your tax return as an IRA, I think the odds are pretty good that you can reverse it.
I think you can also, Joe, but I don't know if it's 3 months or 6 months. There is a
whatever
time
the time
frame.
Is, there's a time
and then
frame.
And after that, you have to pay the 10%
yeah,
penalty.
Then, yeah, exactly. Then it's a penalty situation
if,
to get it back
if you
out.
Took it out. Mm-hmm. But I think the bottom line is if the bank repositioned it, and the fact that it was never recorded as on a tax return, you know, so it's mm-hmm. called a mistake. You just void it out of the system because you haven't turned it into the IRS yet or anything. This is my opinion.
Yeah, I need to check that, but I'm not sure. But there is a limitation.
But
there.
Then what happens if those monies were invested in an investment and makes a gain or a loss?
Makes
no,
income.
But it still makes no difference if it was never put on a tax return.
It will make a difference because that income's going to flip around and there are earnings there. Well, so what they'll do is they'll cancel that transaction. You've got earnings there. That earnings is going to be reported to you.
Or a loss.
It could have a loss. Could have a loss too. But the loss, exactly. If it's a loss.
So the earnings would be reported regardless?
Mm-hmm.
But what if it was called a mistake and then the bank just reversed the whole thing?
Well, then take away all your gains and losses?
Well, leave you the gains, but now it'd be subject to ordinary income tax or long-term capital gain or something.
And she'd probably be happy with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the truth is, it was like $200, so it wasn't.
That was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not what you call a monster gain or loss, but literally, all I'm saying is that sometimes people do things for the client without explaining to the client, and probably the person that did this was not fully, understanding the ramifications of what the right way to do things.
Well, you see, sometimes I think they're just selling product to you because they can. You know?
It could be.
That's why a financial person, a person who's licensed, et cetera,
exactly.
who is required to look at the suitability, you could trust them to do the right thing.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So if you've got questions to do with, we're pretty good on Social Security, we're pretty good on Medicare, we're pretty good on IRAs and 401ks and Roth IRAs.
And solos.
We're real good on mortgages.
Yeah.
You know, we're real good on setting up a business or closing a business. We're
absolutely.
Good on, Vince has got 70-some thousand pages worth of tax code all memorized.
It's all there.
Which, obviously, folks, you know that's a bit of a stretch.
Except the memory chip is starting to
fail. The memory chip is full. They don't make one big enough for anything. But anyway, so that's what we're here to do. We're here to help you if you have questions, especially anything to do with easily on mortgages, taxes, or any type of investments. One of the things that happens is, even though I'm licensed, I got to be careful, Mike. You know how compliance says...
Oh, yeah.
One time I said on a show, I'm licensed to do everything. Well, boy, compliance didn't like that, you know, because...
You barely have a driver's license.
I know.
He's hanging by a thread.
Well, you see, what happens is certain broker-dealers... Now, broker-dealers, folks, if you're a securities person, meaning a stockbroker, you normally have a broker-dealer you're going to go through, like a Dean Witter, Merrill Lynch, somebody. And sometimes these individual companies say, okay, fine, we have 150 or 200 or 300 investments that we allow our people to write, but we may have 5 or 10 that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So there's where they got me. I may be licensed to do that stuff, but because my broker dealer may not do those particular ones, mm-hmm. whatever they may be, I've got to be careful how I phrase that. So that's what I'm saying. I'm being careful. 888-221-8990. So what's, other than the fact interest rates are still ridiculously low.
Is the Fed going to raise rates anytime soon?
Well, there's talk of them.
September.
You know, possibly September. I think it really depends on what the unemployment rates come out on Friday. I think if those are very positive, then we might be looking at a rate increase. But if you remember back to last December, the Fed raised the rates 0.25%, and the mortgage rates actually fell 0.5%.
It's like an oxymoron. Made no sense whatsoever. Still mm-hmm. doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is it did. The reason they want to raise interest rates has got nothing to do with what we normally think is logic. The concept is to control the economy from getting too good or too bad. Now, that's a terrible way to do it. But
yeah, but historically, the Fed has always watched the inflation rates.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, they're more concerned about unemployment rates. But so I don't think you can do both.
Well, you know, by the way, our Fed president said that we have full employment now. As far as she's concerned, it's a full boat.
I think it depends on how you define it.
Yes. Let me just take this call.
It's very much so.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
All right, gentlemen, good afternoon, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I am a young pastor, small pastor of a growing church, and I happen to have a lot of my parishioners who work 2 and 3 jobs. And so most of them are immigrants. So my question is, how do you recommend, you know, I wanted to start giving them things and tips that they can do to start making a better financial decision, because most of their, you know, they're living from paycheck to paycheck, and I'm saying, okay, if you have 2 jobs, how can we start getting you on some foundation so that, you know, we can be better 2 years down the road, you're better off than when you started.
Here.
Instead of what I'm seeing, exactly, my community now is still, you know, next year they're going to get a third job because they can't, you know, that kind of stuff.
One of the things that happens when we have an immigrant, if it's a quote legal immigrant, they have a social security
number. These are legal. They're all legal.
Yeah, well, I'm just, you know, if you haven't noticed politically, this is a big subject these days. Anyway, you know, the other side of the coin is this: if we've got a legal immigrant, and let's just say this person, let me give you some personal opinions. When they're young people, and they're getting married, and they're having babies, and they want to get a house, saving money for retirement should be the fourth item on the list. Because very often I see young people put aside money in retirement accounts, and then they cash them in, and the government charges a penalty plus interest. Whereas if they already had their house, and they got certain things out of the way, then they can start saving for retirement. Now, some people have great jobs and they're working for a company with great benefits and longevity is there, and the rules kind of change a little bit, because if they're working for a company, a lot of big companies have what's called a 401k program,
right,
and you know that matches a portion of what they put in. So let's say they match 3% and they of their pay, and they make $500, they can put $15 aside, and the company will match that $15, and that's now 100% return on your money that day, which is, you definitely want to do that. The next thing, if they don't have that, which most people don't, there's individual retirement accounts, which if you're under age 50, you can put in $5,000 a year. You don't pay tax on it while you're working. And when you take it out when you're retired after age 59 and a half, it would be subject to tax at your rate at that time. So those are...
Right, I've been listening to you guys for a while. You do not recommend that. You recommend Roth IRAs, right?
Not necessarily.
No, no, not necessary, Cola. This is Vince Rosino. I think also, I mean, and Joe is speaking from an investment point of view, I think as a CPA, I actually think more fundamental than that. I'm a big believer in budgets, especially for young people. Put down on paper exactly what their expenses are. You'll be surprised. They'd be surprised as when they start tracking every dollar they spend, where it goes. And so get a budget and see how you compare to that, and actually budget in the savings that you're going to need for your goals. And part of the goal, looking at your goals, what is it that you want? Joe mentioned about housing. Yeah, that might be their goal. Or maybe they feel like in this environment they don't want to buy a house. Well, never can afford a house. Well, in that case, they may have other priorities that they want to, they've got other things they need to invest in. Maybe they have children. Maybe they need to invest in education for the kids, and that becomes a priority for them. But you need to sit down, and each one is almost an individual case. But I would start out with a budget, figure out what it is you're spending, how much you need, what do you have left, if anything, and then plan from there and actually make that happen by recording a deposit into some sort of a plan, something, to either a retirement plan, a savings plan, a 401k plan, something, and do it religiously every pay period.
But you know what, Vince? When you talk about housing, I mean, the rent market is so, it's such a hot market right now. Rents have gone up, 15-20%, tremendously. Right? With the low interest rate environment right now, and some of the really good mortgage programs out there, and we've talked about the USDA program where it's 100% financing. Well, those interest rates could be into the low threes. So it's never been a better time to finance.
They're qualifying, and I agree. If they qualify for a house, then obviously that would be a priority for them. I would recommend it to them. If they don't have enough earnings to qualify, then the budget would reveal that.
Pastor, one of the things that you might consider, and we've done these things too, how big is your congregation?
Right now we're running around 50-60 on the average Sunday.
I've done seminars, and Mike, you and I could go do a seminar, and we could have an after church meeting one day, and we could sit and ask questions and counsel people, and we're more than willing to do that. In fact, we enjoy doing that. So you might put that in your thing, but that the difference between a Roth IRA and a traditional IRA.
Yes, in the sense of when the taxes apply, that's basically my understanding. If you do the Roth IRA, you get the benefit of not being taxed double as opposed to the traditional IRA. That's my understanding.
Well, I wouldn't say it's double. See, in a traditional IRA, you're working and you put money into it, you pay no tax on it now. So let's say you're making $100,000 a year. Well, you're paying a lot of tax. So a lot of times people want to put money aside now and not pay tax on it because they're not going to make that $100,000 a year when they're retired. Then they would take the money back out when they're retired, and then it would be subject to tax at their income rate at that point. On the other hand, a Roth, you pay the tax on the money now. So now let's say I'm not making $100,000 a year. I'm making 20 or 30 or 40. I can put money in that Roth now. But 100% of it is tax-free when I take it out, including all the growth down the road.
Oh, so that's why they recommend the young people to get into the Roth IRA as opposed to...
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Because now, see, they can go 20 years, let's say, or 30 years, and say they put $10,000 or $20,000 in, and they might end up with $50,000 or $100,000 tax-free at a later date. So it's not an easy decision. The key is that you have to look and say, hey, let's say I'm working for the government, and I know I'm going to have a nice pension, and I'm making a good salary, and I know that I'm going to have a nice pension when I retire. Boy, a Roth IRA can make a whole lot more sense at the beginning because that'll all be tax-free money. But if I'm not going to have a pension, all I'm going to have is Social Security. A traditional IRA might be a smarter way to go. There's no easy answer.
But getting back to Mike's point, and he's right, that if one of their goals, the priority, is to get a house,
absolutely,
and they should, then absolutely that would be the priority for them, and see if they could, how much they could qualify for. And that's where you could come in and tell them, based on your income level, here's what you can afford.
You might have heard us talk about, and Mike has talked about it, the USDA program, and depending on where they live, that's 100% financing, and usually it's young people qualify the best. But 100% means no money down.
Yeah, no money down. And quite often you can structure a transaction where the seller is paying your closing costs, so you can get in with zero out of pocket.
As long as your income, you qualify.
As long as
income.
Yeah.
Absolutely. When I first listened to you guys on that USDA, I had just completed my home purchase, and I'm like, oh, my. But one of the things I really appreciate doing these kind of things, and I'm going to get with you gentlemen on this, because we have these congregations, and I know there's quite a few of them because I'm in contact with a lot of pastors in my city, and we see the same cycles 5-10 years down the road, the same people doing the same thing, the 3 jobs, the 4 jobs.
Yep.
Sometimes if some good advice and proper planning, we can help most of my parishioners get out of the rut of poverty and living from paycheck to paycheck, which is really what my goal is. Because if you come to Christ, I really believe that the principles of Scripture
can get us to better living right here on earth, you know, on our way to heaven.
We both agree on that one.
Amen to that, yeah. Pastor.
I'll tell you what, you left your name and phone number, I think, when you call him. What I'll do is, if not today, tomorrow, and if forgive me for all the way till Monday if I need to.
No problem.
We'll call you, and we might be able to put together immediately after a church service for a couple of us to come and sit and counsel people and do a little seminar and answer questions for people and for many that want to know it.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for
Take
calling.
Take care, Pastor. Thank you.
Have you a, gentlemen.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you for calling.
888-221-8990. You know, that's a subject we really haven't talked about. And Vince is right. Now, Vince is running. See, CPAs, they're the people that cross the T's and dot the I's. They rarely make a mistake in life.
Oh, that's not true. See, now he's being facetious.
I know.
That's one of those left-handed compliments.
I was watching to make sure he was awake on that one. That was a test. You passed. But the concept is, if you are a regimented person and if you're a disciplined person and you put a plan together, and he said, and put a budget together and actually write down. I mean, I know people that are not young that they document every single penny they spend so they really know what their habits mm-hmm. are. And then,
you know, we started doing that back when the recession hit, and we've gotten away from that, unfortunately. But it's amazing how you can try to save some money, because just looking at your cable bills and your cell phone bills and trying to reorganize that, restructure that maybe with different companies or different plans, you can save an incredible amount of money.
You know what I call those? I call them drains. And every once in a while, you got to snip those drains and get rid of them,
and
because they're just sucking money out of your budget. And you know, you come to just accept it every month. Mm-hmm. And as long as you're making enough to cover the drains, you feel like you're okay, but you're not.
And, you know, so a little bit of discipline, a little bit of education can go a long ways at making life better. And then, you know, if we don't die, we get old, and all of a sudden, just because we're old doesn't mean it doesn't cost any money to feed us and keep us alive. So if you'd run out of money and you're old, your kids are not going to be happy because they don't want you living with them.
And I think there's one concept, Joe, that the millennials and the younger people have today that we didn't have, you and I in particular, Mike's a little younger, is the notion that Social Security would be there, that there would be this underpinning, there would be this social network.
Yeah. Right, right.
And I don't think that they are really expecting that as much now. And I think the younger people are starting to say, whoa, wait a minute, maybe I need to provide for myself.
Most younger people really don't believe Social Security is going to be there because of all the publicity that this, quote, system is a Ponzi scheme.
You know my opinion on that.
Well, Mike's absolutely 1,000% in that. He thinks it is a Ponzi scheme.
Well, I think so. And, I agree with you.
But, you know, when I look at people today that are in their 60s and 70s and 80s in Florida, you know, even though people weren't supposed to live this long when they first put the program out, it's been, I mean, half the people, these old people that are in Florida, if they didn't have Social Security and Medicare, they'd be living with their kids.
Well, you see, that's why, you know, there's a lot to be said about the socialist structure.
I know.
Socialism is not all bad, but there's a certain amount of services that need to be provided to people, and one of them is this, Social Security. Without it, there'd be people on lines. But the thing is, Joe, that the concept of somebody else providing for you was never really what Social Security was intended for anyway. It wasn't intended to be a retirement program.
Exactly.
It was supposed to be supplemental income, I guess, to supplement your pensions and other things that you have. But so, unfortunately, for a lot of people, that's all they have.
That's all they have. But, you know, we were talking today, Mike, was before the show, when people are making a lot of money, I think the top Social Security benefit now is around $2,800 a month.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you get a husband and wife, you got almost $6,000 a month worth of Social Security income that's possible if you're both high earners, mm-hmm. high wage earners. Now, here comes a question for Social Security. Let's say I'm a doctor or pick a profession and I'm making $500,000 a year, and my wife stays home and raises the kids. I can have a spousal Social IRA.
Yes, you can.
Right? And I can put in the same amount of money into that spousal
IRA. You sort of let her or him borrow some of your benefit.
Exactly.
As long as you don't exceed the maximum allowed for you.
Under that program,
then you're fine. You can set some up. I set up for a lot of people. I send them to you if you need to set them up. We recommend that they contribute if their spouse is home and is a non-working spouse.
Anyway, there's ways to put money aside when you're earning big money or good money so that can help you in your retirement age. and you can help avoid tax now. Avoiding tax is not illegal. It's called normal. It's the right thing to do. Evading tax means your cheating is wrong. So
the Honorable Judge Learned Hand said, you're only obligated to pay your taxes what you're legally obligated to pay, and not a penny more. That's basically it. But you know, talking about Social Security, Joe, when it first came out, I think it was 1936, I could be wrong on the date, but when the actual Social Security law was passed, the average lifespan was 65 years of age. Well, guess when you started to collect Social Security?
Yep,
at 65 years 65. Of age. Oh, what a plan. So
well, then the math made sense then.
Yeah,
it just doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't.
But I guess even the point is that how much benefit would you be paying out at the government level if most of your people were going to die before they were eligible to collect?
That quote trust fund grew like crazy.
Yeah, that's so called
money.
Trust fund, yeah.
Well, so-called trust fund.
Well, you know what they made the mistake, Joe, over the years is that they started later on to raise the age level where you're eligible to collect. So it went from 65 to 66, and then some cases 67 now.
Yeah.
They're going to raise that even further, I have a feeling.
No, sure they will.
And
they'll
raise it to 68, 69, 70.
And then it's going to be on a needs basis.
It could be means tested. You know, yeah. You got a point there. But you see, for those of us who've been paying into the system for 40 years.
Different story.
I think it would be, first of all, it was a contract with those employees.
Right.
I paid into it, and I did. I paid
you're
in.
You're entitled.
And that you're, it is a true entitlement.
This is a pipe dream.
It's well, here's not a pipe dream. I know what you're saying, that they spent the money already.
At a moment's notice.
I'm not even saying that. We're talking about the contract that we had as employees with the government.
If you've noticed.
They can do whatever they want. They can confiscate all our money tomorrow. They can do whatever they want.
However.
But the point is.
Yeah. This is America, guys.
This is America.
Take a break. But here's reality.
Well, let me finish my thought.
Okay.
The thought was that you're entitled to those benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're telling the whole world that we are broke. We, America, are broke, and we can't afford to pay these retirees.
Well, yeah,
that's another story.
I mean, you said it yourself that they were they set up this plan anticipating to pay 1 or 2 years of Social Security. Now people are living to 80, 85, 90.
Right.
It was never set up to
exactly.
to maintain.
So why didn't our famous Congress adjust for the demographics?
You know, and it's
they want to stay in office.
They didn't ask me.
Let's just get mad at politicians as a group. Because, you know, what I think is one of the stupidest things, they cut off the contributions
yeah,
when you make like $115,000, you don't contribute.
No, it's $118,000,
$119,000. Whatever it is.
Medicare goes on forever. You pay on every dollar you earn.
But you don't.
But not on Social Security.
Why?
And I'm saying why?
And, you know, and I think 90% of the people that are in the higher earning brackets are not overly concerned about contributing to Social Security because they're earning plenty of money. They're living
well. We live in a progressive tax system anyway.
Yeah.
It says they're taking more from the people who have.
That's right.
This would just be tweaking it some more and take a little more from the people that have.
Now here's my plan because I'm old. As long as I keep Mike Polis doing lots of mortgages and earning lots of money,
he'll be able to afford to pay for you.
He'll pay more and more taxes. And then thank you, Mike. I appreciate
it. But I love you, Joe. And I'll pay for you forever.
There you go.
Well, you better.
There you go.
Forever is a long time. I'm willing to take it, you know.
But I know how you live.
There you go, right?
And I know how long you're going to live.
And he knows where you live.
Right, right. I just got to be careful about that bomb in the boat when I'm in the Bahamas, right? 888-221-8990 But you know Mike, it's something that I haven't done for a long time, but I used to do some seminars at churches.
Mm-hmm.
Especially on a Sunday afternoon right after the church service was over, you hang around for another 15 minutes, half an hour, do a 5 or 10 minute dissertation, answer questions for people.
Sure.
And you know, it's something that anybody else that's listening on there, we've got any number of, well, we've got 6 different professionals here.
Yeah.
We got mortgage people, tax people, finance people, real estate people, mm-hmm. attorney. We got everybody that you might need to answer questions.
It's insurance. So good to get out there and let people know what type of loan programs are available, because so many people are under the misconception that, you know, in order to buy a house today, you have to have your 20% down. Well, that's not true, because we just talked about the USDA program.
Right.
And that's just one of the many programs out there. HUD has a program that if you buy a HUD REO property or foreclosure HUD property, you can get in with just $100.
Wow.
So there's a lot of different programs out there. I love telling people what programs are out there. We're a big contributor to the St. Lucie County Lending Consortium, which there's a lot of federal money available through the counties for down payment assistance programs. I just closed a loan this past month where the county contributed $20,000 for a down payment.
Wow.
So there's a lot of programs out there.
What is the eligibility for something like that?
You know, again, you have to go through some counseling. You have to get educated on home buying, setting up a budget, like you said earlier. Then it's based on your means. I mean, they're not going to give $20,000 to someone who has $400,000 in the bank. So
you have to
qualify.
So this is geared towards those that otherwise wouldn't be able to buy.
Yeah, and there's programs out there specifically for first-time home buyers, but you know, they're far and few between. I mean, most people have this conception that, you know, if you're a first-time home buyer, you're going to qualify for all these programs. Well, technically, we would rather see you have some experience in owning a home. So there are programs out there to help the repeat buyer. There's a lot of good programs, and I love to do those types of seminars, Joe.
Yeah. All right, Pastor, so you got that written down. We've got your name and number, and we'll get a hold of you. But anybody else that has an organization, whether it be a fraternal organization or a church or something like that, and I'm not saying necessarily Sunday afternoon, but quite honestly, if you have a church service at 10 or 11 or 12, and that's the majority of your people, some people might enjoy the fact they don't have to make a separate trip and they don't have to do it at night after work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they can take a half an hour or 15 minutes, and if they want separate counseling after, that's normally what we would do. We would do a short time presentation on what we're talking about today, no different than we do on the radio.
Yeah.
And then
and we also can talk a little bit about reverse mortgages, because that can help a lot of people too.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. That's a subject we rarely come up with anymore, but we should more often, because it's mm-hmm. on the tube all the time.
Sure.
Explain.
Especially when housing is appreciating like it is, if you have equity, if you own your house and you have a lot of equity in it, but you can't tap into the resources like 401ks, or maybe if you do tap into those resources, it becomes a taxable income, there's always a reverse mortgage. A reverse mortgage is a loan, so all the proceeds are tax-free. So what we do is if you own your home, you have a lot of equity in it. Based on your age, you have to be over 62. The older, the better in this situation. We'll lend you money. There's no need to pay it back, okay? And then when you can no longer live in the property, and usually it's when you pass away, then your heirs have to do something to pay that loan, just like you would pay on a forward mortgage.
They would sell the house, or they could pay off the mortgage with a new mortgage. Or if, let's say that it's upside down, in other words, they owe more than it's worth, there's no liability to the heirs.
No, and there's no liability to the estate either.
Exactly. So there's many, many, many different programs out there available. And I guess let's use one common denominator. You have to be people that are, would that have good credit? Now, it doesn't have to be phenomenally good, but you have to have a credit score, would you say, Mike, in the high fives or sixes or sevens, somewhere in that area?
Well, I mean, if you were qualifying for a forward mortgage, but a reverse mortgage is no payments.
Right.
So we really don't look at the credit like we do on a forward mortgage.
There you go.
The only reason why a lender would even consider your credit is we want to know if you have the ability or the willingness to repay that loan.
Well, they're also concerned about taxes, are they not? And other going forward expenses.
On a reverse mortgage, there's no repayment requirement, so we don't look at the credit the same way. You still have to show financial responsibility,
right?
But it's not the same concept. Now, if you have a history of foreclosures and bad credit, you could still get a reverse mortgage, but we may take some of that proceeds money and we may put it aside to pay your taxes and insurance in the future. So yeah, we do look at credit, but for a different purpose, not for qualifying reasons, but just to make sure that, you know, you can manage your money well and pay your taxes and the maintenance on that property for the rest of your life.
Well, some of the negatives we've heard about reverse mortgages, which I think is the greatest thing since chocolate milk, is that grandpa goes and gets this reverse mortgage and he puts $50,000 in his pocket, and all of a sudden every relative and neighbor and friend and kids all come out of the woodwork.
And that was a problem.
And then they take advantage of
them. Yep. So, well, nowadays, there's new requirements. They rarely even let you take out the full amount right up front. Usually they'll let you take 60% of the proceeds up front, but they'll retain the rest of that for the following year. And that's to avoid this kind of situation.
There you go.
When you get a boatload of money, you have everyone knocking on your door asking for loans.
You know, I've had it more than one time over the years, a client say, hey, Joe, what investment can you put me in that I can't touch for a long time? Well, why do you want to do that? Says, well, I can tell my kids they can't have the money that way.
Well, that's a good way to do it. You can tie it up. And, you know, you could take the money out of reverse mortgage and you can invest it wisely.
Yeah,
And I'm sure you have some good programs.
Yeah. Well, hey, speaking of, you know, now here's something that is a big subject today. Anybody that has money in a bank and then looking at what the bank pays, I had this lady this week, she goes, Joe, my statement showed 1 cent worth of
earnings.
1 cent. I mean, not two, 1 penny worth of earnings.
Well, that's a success story because now they're talking about negative.
Negative,
yields.
Right. And it was so funny. And I say, well, you know, one of the things that people look at, and it used to be a thing from people would come from up north and they'd sell their house up north and they'd say, hey, we're going to go to Florida and we'll buy a little condo. And then we have an extra $100,000 left over. Gee, we'll make 5 or 6 or 7% on that. That gives us $5,000 or $6,000 a year extra to live on. We can live okay. Well, now they go to the bank and they say, okay, we'll give you a whole 0.5% or 1%. And instead of 5 or 6,000, it might be 500 or 1,000.
Right.
Well, when you start dividing that by 12, you know, that $30 or $40 a month, you know, that doesn't really buy a whole bunch. So what I've been, and the other side of the coin too, because I am a stockbroker, financial advisor, I can do stock and mutual funds and all kinds of different types of investments, but I've been a bit reluctant for the last 2.5 years to suggest people go into the market right now, because the market has been flat literally for 2.5 years. And by most economists' estimations, it's what's called full. Full market means companies are either fairly priced or overpriced in their values. Now, if you think about a share of stock, normally a share of stock goes up in value if the company's making money and growing. Well, if the company's going backwards, losing money and not growing, the share of stock goes down. Well, in the last couple of years, the market says, hey, companies are not really making money, they're getting by, but the ratio of price to earnings is a bit high. The number that we look for is 10, and most of them are pushing 17, 18, 19, and 20. So what I've suggested to people is said, hey, I like the idea of making money long term, and if you're young and you've got 15, 20, 30 years to go, you know, it's not as critical. But boy, when you're not so young and you want to tap into that money within the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I suggest very strongly that we don't go into the market, that we use what I call debt instruments. Debt instruments, like if I loan money to Vince would sign a note. That's a note. That's a debt instrument. You get a house mortgage and you sign a note, that's a debt instrument. Big companies, some of the biggest companies in America, including utilities, have issued these debt instruments and they're paying 5% and 6% interest. And the interest is paid every 3 months. And these are 100% liquid, meaning you can get them today, you can sell them tomorrow if you want. They're designed for short-term money. Most of these have windows that allows these companies to say, take your money back and leave us out 2, 3, 4 years. But people that are not happy today should get a little education on how these debt instruments work. And if they want information on that, they can call the radio station and we'll get them information to show them how that thing can work. Debt instruments. Anyway. 888-221-8990.
888-221-8990. So what are you saying, Joe? So to get back to the point, are you discouraging people from getting into the market, the ones that are older and closer to needing the money?
Yeah,
just to get it out? Because, I mean, there's been a flip side argument to that, that since people are living longer,
right,
that they, if they pull out of the market, say, in their 60s, that they won't have, you know, that there's a long time before they actually.
Yeah, but if you're saying the market's overbought, wouldn't it be a good idea to park your money into these debt instruments until the market corrects?
See,
and then you can switch your investments around.
And if we use the gauge, which to me the biggest single gauge we have go is the price to earnings ratio. The game plan is this. The price-to-earnings ratio, if I use 10% as the right number, meaning a share of stock costs $100 and the price of the value of the stock is $100, but the price is 10.
Then you got a 10-to-1.
You're looking at 10-to-1 ratio, yeah. And that's good. But when the ratio today is somewhere 17, 18, 19, 20, and in some estimations 22, usually they look forward and they guesstimate what it's going to be, which is not necessarily the right gauge, but currently it's over 20.
It doesn't even make sense, Joe, because the fundamentals today don't support the market level that it's at.
There's
they
my
just
point.
Simply yeah. don't
well,
support is, it.
Isn't that a factor of what's available with at the bank? I mean,
that's a good point. But here's the availability thing. Where does the Fed fit into this in terms of making more money available that flows into the market? Mm-hmm. In fact, through indirect means, winds up in the marketplace. And that's what I'd be concerned
about.
See,
the Fed is making it difficult for banks to loan money, which causes another problem. Small business people have had a major problem. So those of us that watch this on a daily basis and talk about it constantly are looking at, this is not a good business environment for a lot of small companies. It makes it more difficult for them. Back in the heyday, and Vince would say, I could call my bank and say, hey, Charlie, put 10 grand in a bank. I'll be in tomorrow and sign a paper. Well, forget that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're across the dot and T's. It's very difficult.
But I think a lot of this quantitative easing money, Joe, that's been going on with the Fed has found its way into the market through the banks.
A lot of it has to do with overseas markets, too, because a lot of though our economy may be on shaky ground, we're still the best one on the block.
You know what it is? When you've got the best house on a bad block, you still are on a bad block. So the key is...
Words of wisdom.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's an analogy, but the truth is we have a situation that we have very little control over, and very often government tries to do the right thing for us, and they don't. They screw up, and they make life more difficult. And today... This is why there's so many people excited may be the wrong way to phrase it. They're upset with the political situation more now than ever. Anyway, I think we're pretty much running out of time. What do you think, Karen? She doesn't want to talk out loud because that's against her rules, but sometimes we pick on her and make her talk out loud.
Karen, how much time?
Well, we have 1 minute left, 2 minutes left?
Minute and a half.
Minute and a half. Mike, all right. You're on.
You know, we were just talking about how low the interest rates are.
Right.
I mean, they're artificially low. Why not take advantage of this?
It is
the best time to borrow funds. I am not a big believer in getting into debt that you cannot afford, but if that's it might be a good alternative for many of our listeners out there.
When you think about buying a house with a 3-4% interest rate on a house, I mean, as long as I've been alive, we never had this, ever.
You know,
we do.
You know, and I've always advocated for 15-year mortgages. If you get into a 15-year mortgage, interest rates are in the twos.
Isn't that wild?
It just doesn't get much cheaper than
that. No. So the bottom line is, folks, and these are things you need to investigate. And if you have young relatives or people that are thinking about it, you call the radio station, 888-221-8990. They'll give you our name and number or take your name and number, and they'll have us call you. We're here to counsel, here to help advise and point you in the direction so you can achieve some security, long-term, short-term. If you have tax situations, starting a business, closing a business, Vince Rosino, I got to tell you, how many times do we see people make mistakes when it comes to businesses? It's unreal. Anyway, Karen just waved 30 at us, meaning 30 seconds. Oh, now she's waving 15 seconds. So what we have to say is goodbye.
Goodbye and God bless you.
God bless you and thank you for caller, Pastor, and then we'll see you next week.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program. here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martech is available at 772-678-7725. Dude. Ooh. Dude.